This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Jesus Christ is a central figure to our faith tradition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus Christ, al-Masih, over 25 times in the Quran. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it a fundamental pillar of our faith. For he said in the famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, whoever testifies La ilaha illallah, and I am the messenger of Allah, and Isa is the Ruhullah, wa kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryam. Whoever testifies that Allah is Allah, and the Prophet ﷺ is the Prophet, and Jesus is Ruhullah wa kalimatuhu. And the Ruhullah, as we will explain in today's khutbah, is his spirit and his word that he gave to Maryam. Whoever testifies to these shall enter Jannah. So, believing in Jesus as a Muslim is a fundamental requirement to be a Muslim. We are the only other faith community, other than Christians, who make it a part of their faith that they must believe in Jesus and Isa ibn Maryam. And our belief in Isa and the Christians' belief in Jesus is similar in some ways and different in others. And in today's short khutbah, we will try to illustrate some of those similarities and some of those differences. And especially for our younger brothers and sisters, they should know what we believe about Jesus Christ, because it is a fundamental part of being a Muslim. We as Muslims firmly believe that the mother of Isa, and her name is Maryam, is the holiest and the greatest woman who has ever walked the face of this earth. The only woman mentioned by name in the Quran is the mother of Jesus. The only woman that has a chapter named after her in the Quran is the mother of Jesus. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran that Jibreel visited Maryam. Jibreel, the greatest angel, visited Maryam and said to Maryam, Ya Maryamu, inna nubashiruki bikalimatin minhu. Ismuhu al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam. O Maryam, we are gifting you, we are giving you glad tidings of a word and a spirit proceeding from him. And his name, the gift's name, shall be al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam. Al-Masih is not the name, it is the title. Al-Masih is the title. And in English we say the Messiah. In Arabic, al-Masih, it is a title. It's an adjective, it's a description. And the description here means the one who has been anointed. To anoint means to rub. Masaha means to rub. And in the previous Sharia, in the classical laws before our law, this is not our law. In the other laws, the law of Moses and the previous laws, when a person wanted to convert, they would have to be anointed or rubbed with a special water. They call it holy water. And this lives to this day in the ritual of baptism. When Christians baptize themselves, there is a basis in their Sharia. This baptism, you rub the child on the hair, according to some traditions. And in the previous Sharias, each prophet would anoint the next prophet. So John the Baptist, who was the cousin of Jesus, anointed Jesus. He made Jesus the Messiah by the name of Allah, by the permission of Allah. This anointing is the Masih. This is the Masih, the Messiah. And the name of the child was Isa, and Isa has been Latinized to Jesus. The letter J did not exist in Aramaic. And Isa never heard the name Jesus in his whole life. If you said Jesus to Jesus, he wouldn't know you're talking to him, because J did not exist in their language. The actual name of Jesus, and this even Christians acknowledge and they understand, the real name of Jesus was closer to Esau. We say Isa, they would say Esau. The term J or the letter J did not exist. When it was translated to Latin, then they said Jesus. But the actual name is Isa, or Isa, the son of Mary. And the Messiah means the Messiah, which means the anointed one. And we believe that Maryam alayhi salam was the greatest of all women. Because Allah says in the Quran, Ya Maryamu, inna Allah astafaki wa taharaki wa astafaki ala nisa'il alameen. O Maryam, Allah has chosen you. O Maryam, Allah has chosen you and cleansed and purified you and made you above all of the women of the world. So the greatest woman to ever walk on the face of this earth is the mother of Jesus, and that is Maryam alayhi salam. What an honor that we as Muslims have to believe. What an honor for her that Allah told her, you are the greatest woman that Allah has chosen over all of the world. And of course, the story of Maryam is mentioned in the Quran, that the mother of Maryam, when she was pregnant with Maryam, she wanted to gift her boy to be a priest, to be a rabbi, to be a scholar. And she wanted the child to be raised in the holiest temple, and that is the temple of Sulaiman. But when the child was born, the child turned out to be a female and not a male. And she had already made the promise that this child shall be gifted to the temple and shall be raised within the temple and shall become a scholar or a priest or whatnot. It was too late to change the promise, so she gifted the female, even though in those times females were not gifted to the temple. And her uncle was Zachariah. And so Isa, the Maryam, the mother of Jesus, was raised by her uncle Zachariah inside the temple. And she grew up worshipping Allah from her infancy. And Allah mentions in the Quran miracles for Maryam. As a young lady, when Maryam is worshipping in her chamber, Zachariah would visit her to make sure she has food and water. And she would find the best fruits and the purest water and cold drinks all there for her. And Zachariah would say, who brought this to you? I'm the only one that has the key. I'm taking care of you. I'm your uncle. Where'd you get this food from? And Maryam would say, "Hiya min indillah." It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah blessed me with food. This is in the Quran. Maryam is being blessed with miracles even before Jesus is born. And then we all know the story that the angel comes in, angel Jibreel, walks into the chamber of Maryam. And Maryam is terrified because nobody has access to the chamber. And Maryam thinks this is a man who wants to do some harm, who wants to do some physical damage to her, who wants to remove her chastity. And so Maryam says, I seek refuge in Allah. Allah will protect me against you. And Jibreel says, I am not an enemy, I am Allah's servant to you. I am Allah's messenger to you. And I'm here to tell you the good news that Allah will give you a gift, and that gift will be a child, and the child will be the Messiah or the Messiah. And Maryam says, how can I have a child? I have no husband and I've never touched a man. I've never done anything evil or abominable. How can I get pregnant? And Jibreel says, this is Allah's miracle. When he wants to do something, he says, kun fayakun, and it is. And so, and this is a key point, and I want everybody to listen to this. We Muslims believe Jesus was formed by the kun, and Jesus was not the actual kun. In Arabic, Imam Ahmad said, كَانَ عِيسَى بِكُنْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ هُوَ كُنْ. The difference between us and Christians. Christians believe Jesus became the Word. So the Word became Jesus, and Jesus became the Word. And so Jesus is a walking word. Jesus is the word of God. That's a Christian belief. We say Jesus was conceived at the word, because of the word. Jesus did not become the word of God. Jesus is a human. And when Allah said, kun, Maryam became pregnant. So Jesus was caused by kun, and Jesus was not kun. Whereas Christians say Jesus was the Word and the Logos was with God. The Logos was God and Jesus was God. So we have this difference here. Jesus was conceived by kun, He didn't become the Word of God. And of course, the Quran mentions many miracles of Jesus. He spoke in the cradle. He spoke simply a newborn baby. He defended his mother's chastity. And he defended the charge that people said, where did this child come from? And he defended his mother's innocence. And he told them, I am Allah's servant to you. As a baby, he said, I am Allah's servant to you. And as the child grew up, he did so many miracles. And the Quran mentions some of them, such as the bird, fashioning birds from clay and blowing into it and they become real birds. Such as healing the leper, healing the blind, resurrecting the dead by the permission of Allah. The story of Lazarus is in the New Testament when somebody had died and he prayed to Allah and so Allah Azza wa Jalla brought the dead back to life. These are things that no human can do unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping. And he then announced his prophethood to the children of Israel. Allah says in the Quran, that Isa was Rasulan ila Bani Israel. That Isa said to them, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum. I am Allah's Rasul to you. Musaddiqan lima bayna yadayya min at-Tawrah. I am affirming the law of Moses. This is another key difference. Muslims believe Jesus Christ affirmed the law of Moses. And the Quran mentions this. Musaddiqan lima bayna yadayya min at-Tawrah. I am affirming the Torah. I'm not here to get rid of the Old Testament. I'm not here to throw out the law of God. I'm here so that you teach and preach the law of God. But, وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. I'm going to make some things halal that used to be haram. I'm going to make the law easier for you. So the Quran says, Jesus came with an easier law, but overall it was the Mosaic law, the law of Moses. You have to follow the Sharia of Musa, but I'm going to make it a little bit easier. Allah allowed me to make things halal that used to be haram. And Jesus was supposed to be the final great prophet to the children of Israel. The Old Testament tells us, and the New Testament, and the Quran. This is a message that all three books agree upon. So what I'm about to say is not just from the Quran. We learn from the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Quran that the children of Israel began to disobey the commandments of God. That the children of Israel were not fulfilling the law. And so Allah sent them Jesus Christ to remind them that this is the last chance. And there's a long list of crimes that the Old Testament mentions. And then especially the New Testament. When you read the New Testament, Jesus criticizes the children of Israel in so many verses. Why? Because they were not fulfilling the commandments of Allah. And they were playing with Allah's law, and they were not faithful to Allah's commandments. And so Jesus kept on telling them that don't do this, do that, obey the law. And eventually they became frustrated at Him. And instead of believing in Him, they rejected Him. And instead of following Him, they became so frustrated that they were willing that the Romans, now remember, the children of Israel were a minority within the Roman Empire. They did not have political power. Political power is in the hands of the Romans. These are the kings and the emperors. These are the politicians and the police and the bureaucrats are all pagans. They don't believe in any right God. They are idol worshippers. And the Bani Israel are a minority. And now within their community, there is this figure called Jesus Christ preaching something new. They became so frustrated that they complained to the authorities about Jesus Christ. This is in the New Testament and it is mentioned in the Quran indirectly, not directly. This is straight from the New Testament. And they essentially turned their backs on their own prophet because Jesus is one of them. He is of the children of Israel. He is their kith and kin. They turned their backs on Jesus and they attempted to have Him executed by the Roman authorities. They helped the traitors within the camps of Jesus, Judas was his name, they helped him to essentially turn their own in based upon false lies and promises. They said he is a political agitator. They said he's speaking against the emperor, even though Jesus did not come to cause any agitation or problem. He was a peaceful person. He didn't come to spread war and hatred, but his own people falsely accused him of that which he was free of. And they complained to the Roman emperor and the Roman bureaucrats, and this is why they had to get involved, and the court case was done, and the verdict was given that he will be essentially crucified, which was the Roman way of killing people. That's how they would kill people, put them on a cross and let them die of starvation. So according to the New Testament, this is the Christian narrative, they entered in and they found Jesus and they arrested him and they put him on the cross. This is the Christian narrative. He died on the cross, then they buried him, then he came back from the dead and he was resurrected and he announced to everybody that he is the Son of God, etc., etc. This is not the Islamic narrative. The Islamic narrative differs radically from the Christian narrative. Allah says in the Quran, and this is a very important point, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They neither killed Jesus nor did they crucify him, but rather it was made to appear to them so. It looked that Jesus had been crucified, but he wasn't crucified. This is in the Quran. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْ. All of the Christians who are differing amongst themselves, they are in doubt. They don't have certainty. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. Of a yaqeen, they did not kill him. Allah is saying, you don't know, I know. But رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah raised Isa up to himself. So the Quran unequivocally states, Jesus was not killed. Jesus was not crucified. Rather, an image was made that they assumed Jesus was crucified. Our scholars say, and this is not explicit, but it's implied. Our scholars say that the traitor, Judas, Allah punished him by making him look like Jesus outwardly. So when the Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Jesus was saved. And they saw Judas and they assumed it was Jesus. So they arrested Judas, the traitor, the betrayer, and they put him to trial. They put him on the cross and they killed him a miserable death as he deserved as a traitor. And this was Allah's punishment to Judas. So Judas died on the cross, not Jesus. The betrayer and the traitor died on the cross. But the people, they saw Jesus on the cross. So they thought Jesus has died. Now our scholars say, and this is not explicit in the Quran, but it's derived, that and from the New Testament as well, that after the crucifixion, then Jesus came back to his followers. This is in the New Testament. And the Christians interpret it as the resurrection. We interpret it as the affirmation he never died. Jesus came back to his followers, to James, to Peter, and he says to them, look, I'm here. This is my flesh and blood. I am not dead. And they could not believe, the New Testament says. So Jesus says, give me any food you have. So they had fish and they had honey and they had bread. So they gave him the food. He ate of the food. Why did he eat of the food? To show them, I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. I am flesh and blood. I am still alive. I never died. I'm not dead, I'm alive. So he ate of the food. And this is in the New Testament. And then he said, I have to leave. Allah's qadr. Allah willed, I have to leave. My mission is over. You go ahead and you preach what I taught you, which is to obey the law, be faithful to Allah. I have to leave, but I promise you somebody is going to come after me. This is in the New Testament. Now, Christians interpreted that is the Holy Spirit who shall remain until Judgment Day. Muslims interpreted, as Allah says in the Quran, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ Ahmad. Muslims interpret this phrase, which is the New Testament, that the person who's going to come afterwards shall be our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Jesus is raised up. And right from the beginning, controversy begins amongst his own followers. Who was that? Was it really Jesus? Was he in flesh and blood? Did he come back from the dead? Or was he never dead in the first place? What happened? And from the beginning, Christianity split up into such a wide spectrum that us Muslims, we have never had this problem in our religion. From the beginning, Christianity began to differ. Who is Jesus? What is his relationship with God? What is the role of the law? And you had an entire spectrum of opinion. One spectrum and one group is the group that we say were the real Christians. That group, we still have references to them. And for the advanced students and the people who are interested, you should make a note of these and do your own research. There were groups that are now called Jewish Christians. This is the name given to them. They're Jewish Christians. They were Christians who believed in Jesus, but who followed the law. And they believed in Jesus as the Messiah, not as God, not as the Son of God. Of these groups is the Ebionites, the Ebionites. The Ebionites are an early Christian group. They didn't believe in the Trinity. They didn't believe in redemption. They didn't believe that Jesus died on the cross. They actually believed that Jesus is the Messiah, not the Son of God. And they followed the laws of Musa. But they were persecuted by the other Christians and they fizzled out. Also, in early Christianity, we had a group called the Nazarenes. And from that, we, the Muslims, get Nasara, the Nazarenes. The Nazarenes are another early Christian group. They too believe Jesus is the Messiah, not God. And they followed the law of Musa. And you had other groups as well. No time to get into all of them. The Sabellianites, the Arianites, the Arians. All of these, they were people who had other versions of Christianity. But what happened? Very briefly, two primary figures that every Muslim should be aware of. This is basic history that even academics who are fair to the tradition acknowledge this. Where did modern Christianity come from? Two primary individuals. Number one, Paul. Paul was an early convert to Christianity who never met Jesus. He says he met him in a dream, but he never actually met Jesus before and when Jesus was walking on this earth. And Paul began to preach a very different version of Christianity. Paul began to preach that Jesus was not just the Messiah, he was the Son of God. Paul also began to preach that Jesus, you don't have to follow the law to believe in Jesus. Belief in Jesus substitutes the law. If you believe in Jesus, you don't have to pray or follow kosher or eat according to the Jewish tradition or anything. All of it is gone. If you believe in Jesus, you are saved. And Paul also began to preach that Jesus' message is for all of humanity, not just the children of Israel. These were the three main things that Paul introduced that Jesus never said. Jesus only preached he's the Messiah. Jesus said, follow the law. And Jesus said, I am for the children of Israel, not for all of mankind. Paul changed all of that. And the second figure is the figure of Constantine, the Roman emperor who died 337 CE, i.e. around 250 years before our Prophet ﷺ. So for 300 years, Christianity was a minority tradition in the Roman pagan empire. Christians were persecuted. Christians were killed by the Roman pagans until an accident, a fluke, Allah's qadr. The Roman emperor at the time by the name of Constantine decided to convert to this obscure religion that less than 3% of his followers of his kingdom followed. Small religion, like Islam in America, small religion, similar to that. The Roman emperor, for reasons that are still discussed to this day, not the topic of our khutbah, decided to convert to Christianity. But which version did he convert to? He decided to convert to a version that was still somewhat similar to his previous pagan beliefs. And he adopted a version of Christianity that taught a Trinity belief, three gods. Even though there were Christian sects that did not believe in three gods. He adopted a version of Christianity that had a father figure and a son figure and a redeeming figure. And there are many parallels in paganism to this. And even the image of Jesus with a halo on top. And this is very similar to early pre-Christian paganism. And there are many, many research papers and dissertations done about the parallels between Constantine Christianity and between paganism before Constantine. A lot of parallels. So Constantine adopts a version of Christianity that was similar to his own beliefs, and then he makes it the official version. So much so, anybody who disagrees with that version shall be persecuted and exiled. So he banned any other Christianity other than his Christianity. And that became the Council of Nicaea and the Nicene Creed. And one thing led to another until it became the dominant. And then it became the only version of Christianity in the entire world. We have bits and pieces of other Christians remaining until the time of Salman al-Farsi, until the time of other people like the Emperor of Najashi, Negus. He appeared to follow versions of Christianity that were non-Constantine. But eventually all other versions of Christianity were wiped out and only our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came preaching the true Christianity, and that is Jesus is the Messiah. He is not the Son of God, and Jesus came to fulfill the law. And brothers and sisters, of course, We disagree with Christians theologically, yet the Quran also praises the sincerity of Christians. The Quran says that Christians by and large are sincere people, but they're misguided. Allah says in the Quran that وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. You will find the closest in love, in support to the believers are those who say we are Christians. Why? That is because they have righteousness and they have piety and they are not arrogant. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And we find that true Christians, people even in this day who follow corrupted Christianity, you generally find them to be humble. You find them to be loving people. You find them to be not arrogant. This is what the Quran says. So our stance, brothers and sisters, is that we believe we are the real followers of Jesus Christ. We believe we are following the teachings of Jesus. And we say to our fellow Christians that we want you to research what Jesus himself said. We want you to study the true teachings of Jesus. And if you do so, then you will also conclude that Jesus never taught the Trinity. Jesus never taught that he is divine. Jesus never taught that you should disobey the law. He was a Jew and he practiced the Mosaic law and he was circumcised and he observed kosher and he never told you to disobey the law of Moses. And this is our perspective of Jesus. And we say, now that we're about to be approaching the festival of Christianity, that indeed we all have our festivals. We understand Christians have their festivals as well. But we should realize that we as Muslims, we have our festivals. لِكُلٍ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. Each sharia, each religion has its own way and its own holy days as well. Christianity has its holy day. And by the way, I have to say, 25th of December is not something Jesus said. This goes back to the winter solstice celebration of Roman pagans. 25th of December is not originating from Jesus Christ. It's originating from Constantine. It goes back to Roman paganism. The whole mythology of having a tree. This tree that they celebrate, the Christmas tree, Middle Eastern, Jesus, by the way, was a Palestinian Jew. He was a Palestinian Jew. Jesus was a refugee, he was an immigrant, he was a Palestinian, he was a Middle Easterner, and he was a Jew, right? This is Jesus Christ. The whole mythology of the nativity scene of this particular tree, of hanging things on it, this is not what the Middle Eastern Palestinians used to do. This is all coming from paganism and also from European Celtic traditions, Nordic traditions, nothing to do with the actual teachings of Jesus. Nonetheless, we say to our fellow Christians, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. You have your way, we have our way. And O Muslims, it is not of our methodology to celebrate other festivals. Like others do not celebrate Eid, we don't expect Christians to celebrate Eid. We as well do not celebrate other festivals. And also we have to be careful about, if you like, devaluing the value of our monotheism in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody wishes us a Merry Christmas or whatnot, we can give a generic greeting back that, may God bless you, right? Happy season or festival. We should try our best to avoid words like Christmas because we don't want to give the ambiguity that we are supporting their belief in Jesus being the Son of God because we do not believe Jesus to be the Son of God. As well, we as Muslims should not import these festivals into our faith tradition. There is no reason for us as Muslims to have Christian trees or Christmas trees or have these decorations in our houses. Yes, if you're a convert, and your whole community and family is still Christian, and you have to visit them to fulfill the ties of kinship, and you are the Muslim in your family, that's a different story. So you go to your family and you portray yourself, what is Islam? And you are the dignified Muslim, but you should not participate in any rituals that they pray to Jesus in. Because you are a Muslim, you don't pray to Jesus Christ. So if you're a convert, or a revert, and you go to your family on Christmas, that's something else, and we will give concession for this. But those of us who have Muslim families, we should not be importing religious festivals and pageantry that has nothing to do with our faith tradition into our faith tradition. And to conclude the first khutbah, one of the most interesting things that always shocks Christians when we say it to them, is that we say to Christians, we Muslims believe Jesus is still alive. And Christians are shocked, what? Say, yes, Jesus never died. From our perspective, he is still alive. We believe this. بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. He did not die yet. And he was not crucified. We firmly believe as Muslims, and this is main, there is no difference of opinion in Islam, that Jesus is a prophet that Allah raised up. and he shall come back towards the end of times, and he shall preach the true Tawheed. And those Christians that are sincere will recognize when Jesus comes back that Jesus never preached the Trinity. We believe Jesus will come towards the end of times, and the Mahdi will be alive at the time, and there will be the great Armageddon or the battle. All of this we share with Christians. The one difference is we Muslims believe we will be fighting on the side of Jesus. We will be Jesus' supporters. We will be the true followers of Jesus, and Jesus Christ shall be our Imam and our leader. This is how much we respect Isa ibn Maryam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to understand these wisdoms and benefit from them. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin kullu dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim.